Podcasting 2.0 for February 24th, 2023, episode 123. Get off my chain! Hello, everybody. Once again, time for your weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We are the North Star in a galaxy of corporate glut. And boy, is it a glut. Everything you want to know about the latest with the podcast namespace, of course, Podcasting 2.0 in its entirety, the podcast apps, and everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama, the commander of Operation Chop and Drop. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Hello.
This is thing going. I know.
It's stuck now.
Yeah, we always.
It's going to be days in there.
We always start the show off with a little bit of singing. We like to bring the worship team together.
The praise team.
Oh, I've never heard that one. The praise team. That's a good one. It is Friday once again. How you doing, brother? Everything good up there or down there and over there in Alabama?
It's good over here in Alabama. Busy with the taxes, but
everything's
going good.
That's right. That's right.
I went to my first ever Bitcoin meetup Monday night.
Oh, how was that?
Here in the ham.
Well, let me guess. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the meetup. Let's talk about Nostr.
That came at the end.
Oh,
that
it
was
did?
At the end. It yes, did. Yes. Lots of Nostr talk at the very at the end. Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was great though. It was good. I've never been to anything that it was a very religious type event. Oh. I mean, in the sense that everybody's like, you know, of the same ilk. You know, mm-hmm. it was like a Bitcoin Bible study.
BBS, Bitcoin Bible Study. Well, it is kind of true that when you meet Bitcoiners, that's kind of like No Agenda listeners too. When you meet Bitcoiners, they're like all over the spectrum. And I mean, literally the spectrum sometimes. And yes, and you wouldn't be able to know any of these people. You wouldn't walk down the street and say, oh, that person's a Bitcoiner. You wouldn't know until you meet him. And it is a real sense of community. I mean, there's something going on there that I've witnessed many times. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked all the people there. Nobody I had ever met before from around Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And wide diversity of people from different places. A guy talked about proof of work and then
or specifically to Bitcoin. Phoebe, come.
Oh, man. He did like a presentation on it. And stuff. And so, I mean, it was good. And the people that run it are really nice and commit. They've been running it for a while. I didn't even know this was going on. So anyway, it's good. It's good to get out into the.
Oh yeah.
Into the,
now, did people know who you were? Did you say, do you know who I am? Did you say that? Like, I am the pod sage. Surely you've heard of podcasting too. Surely value for value rings a bell, people.
No, I did not say anything like that. I did not turn on douche mode. I kept that turned off.
It's not douche mode. It's PR mode. Did anyone talk about value for value in podcasting at all?
They talked a lot about podcasts that they listened to. They did not talk about podcasting in any of that sort of sense. So I figured what I'd do is I'd just get to know people for a while. And then
and then
in a few weeks, I'd say, hey, I can do a presentation on podcasting 2.0.
There you go. I love it.
Because that seems to be their thing. They seem to be like every time they have a meetup, they have somebody do like a presentation. So I could do a V for V, you know.
Very nice. I did want to mention to everybody, this is my new health warning. I'm very concerned for people as I've discovered that the entire armies of people are listening to podcasts at accelerated speed. I would like to warn you.
Two and a half speed.
At anything above 1.0, I'd like to remind you this is very bad for your health. You are hijacking your nervous system. There's no need for you to cram more podcasts into your life. You will not be able to cognitively absorb what normal people are saying anymore. Stop it.
What triggered this in you? Why are you so far?
Well,
this came out of the blue.
No, it kind of came up during the week as I was, someone sent me a video, which was clearly, a so-called deep fake. And it was Joe Rogan and Peterson. They were talking together. And I'm like, that's pretty good. It's getting pretty close. And then it dawned on me that it sounds a bit like, Smart Speed from Overcast or any other, sped. It does not actually speed up the voices. It tries to keep the pitch in check. And it sounds very much like a deep fake. And I thought, oh my God, people will never be able to recognize a deep fake anymore because this is how they're used to listening to stuff. Oh, and I got so many emails and, a lot of people said, what you said was kind of interesting because I can't listen to normal conversation anymore without thinking people are drunk or it's really weird. And like, that is not healthy. Think about what you, that is not healthy. You need to be able to have cognition of normal life. So stop it. One more thing. If you feel you need to accelerate listening to podcasts because you need more podcasts, please stop listening to this one right away. Go away. You're sick. Okay. Yeah. What do you want to say? You're sick.
You're sicko. First of all, somebody needs to get an ISO of Bob Newhart doing that skit. Have you seen that one where he does the stop it? Where he's the psychologist? And he charges $5 does is tell people to say, just say stop it.
Unfortunately, no, I don't have that one.
But the, as a reformed, podcast, multi-Xer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call that. Multi-speed, person.
Sick. Yeah.
As a sicko, a reformed sicko.
Yeah.
I used to listen to all my podcasts at 1.0 speed up whatever that thing is where it chops out the silences between them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The silence chopper.
Silence chopper. Yeah. Yes. And, I did that exclusively. And then at some point I heard you say I think it was on No Agenda. I heard you, griping about this and I was like, okay, you know what? You're probably right. Yeah. Because I noticed I would get home from like a commute somewhere. I would get home and I had been listening to this for, let's say, 30 minutes and I would be irritable with the people in the house.
I saved your marriage is what you're saying.
You did. Yeah. My kids owe you a debt of gratitude. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop it. And so I just changed everything back to normal speed, cut out the silence choppers.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was painful. I was like, it feels so slow. But then after about a week, I'm like, this is actually normal. And it for 100% sure. Wait, not 100%.
Five by five, four quarters, anything.
Unconditionally, it improved all my conversations with people around me. It reset my brain back to normal. I agree with you exclusively.
There's something else that came along, and I just realized this also spurred me on. I got new glasses, and I needed glasses with multifocal lenses because I'm now flying again, and I'm nearsighted, so I'm sitting in front of the podcast studio screen here. I see it perfectly without glasses, but if I move back to just about where the glass panels are in today's modern aircraft, it's a little fuzzy, but you kind of need to see the instruments. And I'm used to, steam gauges, dials, that's approximately there. That looks about right. So I needed new glasses and I got two pair, and the one pair, the ophthalmologist, got me, transitions with three. So you have far away, close up for reading, which is handy because, if I'm walking through the supermarket, I'm always taking my glasses off, looking at my phone, putting them back on. And then in a medium stage, which would be, it's actually perfect for the glass cockpit. And the first time I put them on, I almost fell over because you're so used to moving your eyes behind your glasses. Now it's like you move them down. It's like, whoa, and you get all, it goes out of focus. You look to the left. It's like vertigo. And it took me a few days. And that reminds me of the experiment where you put the glasses on that invert the world. Everything's upside down and your brain will accept that within 24 hours, even shorter than that, you'll be able to function perfectly fine with the world being projected upside down to your eye, you know, to your through your eyes. So logically, when just what you said, when you get used to it, and then you come home and you want to, you know, beat your children.
He's like, go faster.
Come it's on, like, get it out. What did you want to say to me?
Yeah, that's actually what it's like. There's a low-level irritation mm-hmm. that forms in the back of your head when your little girl is telling you about her homework and you're just like, go, stop being so slow. You know?
Wow. Okay, thank you. I'm adding this to my arsenal. This will improve your home life. It'll improve the sex will be better.
I can attest the sex is better.
You have sex if you stop being an asshole. It's really good.
that also qualifies as better. Yes. From none to some is better. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
I also agree, though, with Tone Wrecker, who said that if you listen to Roast Beef, the developer of Lightning Labs, is the only time it's acceptable to
slow it down.
Speed.
To you slow need to it slow down. Down. You need to slow him down. That's true.
Yeah, he says half speed. I'm thinking maybe 0.25. That might be the best way to go.
Oh, my goodness. We have a very special board member I want to bring in a moment, but not until you and I have discussed one important story, which I felt only really got a mention.
YouTube!
No. YouTube podcasting! No, that was not what I was going to talk about.
Oh, okay. I get that.
No,
wrong. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about the story from NPR because... It got a mention. It caught my attention because it was a story about NPR. Well, I have the story here. I have their very own clip, and we won't play the whole thing. We'll get up to the pertinent bit here.
And now for some news.
By the way, we gotta slow it down and talk like NPR. For some news about ourselves, NPR. Yes, we're so transparent. We report on our own smelly poop.
And now for some news about NPR itself. NPR announced a major restructuring today and revealed it's about to lay off about 10% of the workforce. Our CEO, John Lansing, cited a drop of $30 million in projected advertising revenues.
Now, so this got my attention when you say, because NPR is National Public Radio.
Underwriting.
And, well, it's always been questionable. You know, is it sponsorships, underwriting, advertising, call it whatever you want. And I think it was a little confusing, but I can dissect this quickly.
It's about to lay off about 10% of the workforce. Our CEO, John Lansing, cited a drop of $30 million in projected advertising revenues. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins me. And David, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, but this is a tough day, as you know, here at NPR.
Yeah, look, it's a real loss, as John Lansing said in a memo to staff. I've been here over 18 years. It's the toughest cuts I've seen. It's probably the toughest since the early 80s. What we know is not a lot, except about the extent of it. And what John Lansing said to me was that it would not be uniform across. He wasn't just going to take a hatchet and do the same across all divisions. He wants to be strategic and thoughtful about how it's done. But, you know, this is necessarily going to be us doing not only less with less, but reconfiguring how we do it.
Okay. I'll stop there because what they kind of waffle around about is what the problem is. What happened with NPR, who are supposed to be running on donations? You know, they have donation drives. You get a tote bag or a coffee cup if you support your local NPR station. What
can
happened?
Can I guess what the problem is?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to guess that the problem, and this comes from reading the article, which was actually very long, by the way.
The article actually tells us what the problem is.
It said something like that there was 490 people in the newsroom and like 230 people in management.
Now, that is part of the problem. What really happened here is they built a huge podcasting division. And the podcasts do accept advertising. And so this, so they already were trimming down in November. They were cutting, they cut everything by 10%. That's, you know, not really mentioned. NPR's programming division, which produces its industry leading podcast, has more than doubled since 2019. You see, they got on the hype bandwagon, particularly with lockdowns, when A, everybody was creating podcasts. See the chop and drop exercise to pare down the crap that was still the remnants of that shit floating around in our index. It more than doubled, and you know, with that, Dvorak and I actually went through a lot of their program. They have a lot of programs that they created in the past couple of years. And the advertising, as predicted, as warned for by this very podcast host, it's done. It dried up. It's, I mean, not, of course, there's always going to be some marketing. But podcasting is the first one to go. It's the first, you know, it's very, it's not well measured. You know, the IAB stats, it's all this crap that it's too complicated. There's no ESG benefit anymore because you actually have to pay for it. Now it's not free from, you know, free money you can borrow. And so they just overstimulated the whole programming division. And there's going to be a bloodletting in that division, in the podcasting space, where they thought, you know, this will just go on forever.
And, yeah, they said they have the newsroom currently stands at just shy of 490 people, while programming has shot up to 230. And I wonder how much of that quote unquote programming was podcasting.
It's all podcasting. It's all podcasting. Yeah, it's all. And here's the other problem. When podcasting works, when it's almost a one-man band, you cannot afford to do, and this is the problem with Spotify, with Gimlet. Now they have unions over there. Are you kidding me? Well, we have editors and producers and associate producers and production assistants and, you know, who would get coffee. And line editors and then an executive they all report to. That's the other side of the equation. Because they're all in this fantasy of big broadcasting. I mean, even top 40 radio stations don't have that level of staffing, and they're barely getting by, barely. So this, you know, this inflated, oh my gosh, it's going to be so great, you know, it's now coming crashing down. And I just want to, so a couple of things I want to say about it. One, learn how to produce your own podcast. You know, you don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the wall of sound every single time. You can learn how to, and I prefer to make the sound and record it direct to tape and not mess with everything after the fact. You do whatever you feel is necessary. But also, I want to tell the hosting companies, it's going to slow down. There's not going to be this big influx of thousands of new customers every week. It's going to slow down. And if I could make one more recommendation, then I'll shut up. I would recommend a hosting company, if you're giving away free accounts, stop right away. Give away an account where you take 20% of the value for value streaming sats up to a cap or in perpetuity, whatever you want to do, and make that your deal and stimulate people using that. Move away from all. I mean, subscriptions, I think, is a pretty good business too. Although I don't like the idea of paying for something you can't listen to otherwise. Mm-hmm. I don't like the paywall version of it.
The V for V subscriptions does work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we've done with No Agenda for 15 years with PayPal, you know, and of course, are gradually going to try and move that into other payment platforms, duh. But, you know, seriously, think about doing more of that. And stimulating people to get, because if you can get someone who has 100 people listening, but you know there's one person there who does $1,000 a month, you're out of your cost, you know, and it really didn't hurt you, didn't hurt anybody, made it easy for everyone to participate in, and I think it's a model for the future. That is just me.
I agree.
And stop listening at times X speed, you nut jobs.
Well, they said. I mean, they're laying off 10% of their workforce. I mean, that's a huge chop, but that's big.
Yeah.
That's more than any I think that might be the biggest one we've heard.
But they also said it's not going to be uniform across the organization. No, it's going to be in podcasting.
It's all podcasting.
Exactly.
And their quote was, and I think it's interesting that this is an article about themselves. So they're this is not guesswork. They're telling you exactly what's going on. Now, of course, there's some positioning. I'm not saying that there's not, but you know, there's lots of, just like everybody else is having layoffs, we're going to have them too. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, they did a lot of, look at Silicon Valley. Okay, so you're comparing NPR to Google and Amazon. So clearly you're talking about podcasts. And this is why I also put weight on the YouTube podcast announcement. Go ahead. Go jacked up over there. Podcasting has been through this. Yeah. We've seen this a million times.
But they said the reason they gave, and I mean, this is really specific. And again, this is talking about themselves. They're telling you what's going on. They said, quote, and talking about the cause, quote, an erosion of advertising dollars, particularly for NPR podcasts, unquote.
Specifically said that.
Yes. I mean, that there's no ambiguity there. No. Advertising in NPR podcasts is not keeping pace, and they can't fund those 230 program directors.
Yes, you know? There was actually a spot in here. I'm just going to find
it. But, this is nesting how we do it.
There's a spot where she says, but, it's the people doing podcasts. They're doing journalism, too. Listen.
He said that this is going to be a significant way.
No. What does that actually mean when he says he wants to be thoughtful? He doesn't think this will be uniform across divisions.
Podcasting.
Can you decipher
going
what
down.
He's actually envisioning?
We don't know. We don't. What we do know is three different kinds of strategic, and also its audience to seek younger and more diverse.
Oh, I like this. I like
with it.
This is what
this. Just as a commentary. With this riveting content, it's stunning that they're having problems selling advertising.
PR has to deepen and broaden its audience to
deepen and broaden. What does that even mean?
Seek younger and more diverse audience base.
Younger and diverse audience base. You know what that is? That's corporate bullshit is what that is.
That's the way in which he sees building for the future. And he said that since he arrived in the fall of 2019. He's also talked about unifying its newsroom with its programming side.
Now, when you unify the newsroom with its programming side, you know what that means? Native ads. You're going to be making content for the advert. And our NPR team, Skilled Voices, they'll make special podcasts just for your brand. Trust me, it always goes that way.
More stories about Taco Bell Mexican pizza coming back. Is this what you're
exactly.
It's where so much growth has happened lately, particularly in the podcasting division. But these divisions in some ways are artificial.
Let me hear that again. What is he saying here?
2019. He's also talked about unifying its newsroom with its programming side. The programming is where so much growth has happened lately, particularly in the podcasting division. But these divisions in some ways are artificial. A lot of our colleagues doing journalism are doing so under the rubric of podcasting, but it's still really part of a great journalistic function.
No, and that's horseshit.
Rubric. What is the definition of rubric?
Rubric?
I wonder why he chose that word.
That's a good question. Rubric.
See, rubric. A direction.
Rubric. Let's see. Do you have a definition and meaning? Yeah. Okay. Authoritative rule, a rule of conduct of how we... Oh, that's interesting. Well, if you look at NPR podcasts and say, well, that's basically they're doing journalism. I'm not so sure. I think you really went crazy. let's see.
Yeah.
Where are their podcasts? Exclusives. Well, maybe exclusives. State of Ukraine. All right, there you go. Up First, consider this. 1A, Embedded, Here and Now Anytime, Planet Money, Life Kit, The Indicator, Wisdom, Ultima Copa, Code Switch, Throughline. It's been a minute. I mean, they have so many podcasts. Oh, they must have some big deals with people on this too. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, this is tons.
I feel bad when this happens, but it's like let's be honest. Let's just be honest with what we're doing in the podcasting space. Ads are not going to be great for maybe a long, long time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the whole world is seeing this and is equipping themselves for what they see on the horizon. So, you know,
I think it's important. I was reading this morning about how the Fed is, or not the Fed, excuse me, the about how the official stats coming out of the administration about the, you know, the economic numbers about unemployment, things like that, they're all just so
bogus.
Wrong. And you know, the banks, even the big banks are starting to call it out and say, these numbers don't seem to comport with reality. And so, you know, I'm not sure that we even know the extent of what's happening economically right now. I feel like we're actually probably in the dark about a lot of things. And so the pain might actually be way worse than right now. That we may be firmly in recession territory already.
Well, technically by the technical nature of two down quarters of GDP. Yes, we are in the United States.
Down quarters, even with funny numbers, you know, we could be like deep in recession and not be aware of it.
Yeah. The disgusting thing is if you listen to the Wall Street guys and the Fed, they're like, well, you know, damn, man, we need unemployment needs to be higher. And, you know, that is their metric. Like, we'll keep raising interest rates until the job market, you know, softens, i.e., there's more unemployment. They are rooting for unemployment. They raise interest rates to get you unemployed. This is literally what they're saying. You probably don't hear it because it sounds like this. Well, we really need to get that. Job market. So you don't understand the nuance, but that's what's happening.
Man, I've been reading. I'm back to reading Secrets of the Temple every night.
I'm not familiar with Secrets of the Temple. What is this?
A book by William Grider. He used to write for the Washington Post. I think it was published in maybe 1990 or 91. Hmm. And it's about the Paul Volcker Federal Reserve the 70s
and
80s. And it's a big book. It's like 700 pages. But it's all the inside story about that time frame and what all they did. Have you ever heard of the Monetary Control Act of 1980?
Was this where they tried to price fix stuff?
No, this was the Fed. The Fed under William Miller was worried about. I didn't realize this. That banks before 1980, banks could choose not to be a member of the Federal Reserve System. And what happened is, if you were a member of the Federal Reserve System, you were required to keep a certain amount of reserves,
yes,
on deposit at the Fed. But the Fed did not pay interest on those reserves. And that griped a lot of banks. So what a lot of banks and credit unions and savings and loans would do is they would leave the Federal Reserve System, go on their own under the state banking regulations of their state, and they would not have to keep those reserves on deposit. So they could keep them themselves, and they could deploy those reserves and actually get a return.
Right, which turned into the overnight rate, which is one of the biggest problems that we have now. Is banks are sending $1 trillion overnight back to the Federal Reserve.
Well, the Monetary Control Act of 1980 stopped that, and it basically just said all financial institutions in the United States are required to be members of the Federal Reserve System. Done.
And did you know that since COVID, the banks are not required to have any reserves?
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, and they never reversed that. It was during COVID, typically you have to have 10% in reserve. And so they don't have to do, as far as I know, many banks don't even have any reserves. And by the way, nothing says, honey, I don't want to have sex than having that 700 page book next to your bed and reading it at night, Dave Jones. What do I need to teach you?
It's like, I mean, it's like a big thing of garlic just sitting on the nightstand.
Speaking of, reading in bed, I'd like to bring in our honorary board member for today. As you can see, he is once again in his velvet bathroom and his bathrobe and his fluffy pink slippers. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to the founder and CEO, head Buana, boss something of one of our first apps to support value for value. That would be Breeze. Hello, His Royal Highness Roy Scheinfeld.
Roy! Hello, Adam. Hello, Dave.
How are you? Roy. Boker Tov.
I don't think it's nice that we need to like be on a podcast in order to talk, but
well, that's life, I mean, it's so funny because I've been looking at my phone for a couple months And I got no, I have zero calls missed or anything from you. You only tweet me now.
Well, you know
you'll
what?
DM me.
I had the same experience myself. So.
Oh, the last time I called, you were like, "Oh man, I'm really busy. I don't have time for you." Don't you remember that?
I don't have time for you.
No, and by the way, I want to say that I'll continue to listen to Podcast Index in 2.5 in X 2.0.
Do you really listen in high speed? Do you really? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, oh,
you're frying your brain.
You have to stop. You see, notice Roy lives alone, everybody. Just want to make sure. As far as we know, except for your servants, there's no one else there.
Yeah, so?
That's because you listen to podcasts at 2.5 speed. It's like, no, you can't have a normal
not
conversation.
Not in plural, Adam. One podcast.
Oh, only
that's
one.
Podcasting. Okay. That's the only podcast that I listen to. In my bathroom, like with my slippers on Friday nights. But I think, like, I don't think it's one size fits all. That's what I wanted to say. Like, time is a very scarce resource. Like, there are other stuff to do. I have a lot of stuff to do with my time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Like, it's very effective for me. And by the way, you mentioned roast beef. Like, the only way I think I'm able to listen to roast beef is because I'm listening to your podcast in.
No, you're training. This is LSD.
Interesting. Yes, well, it kind of goes against everything you know from a Bitcoiner with a high or low time preference, which is interesting. It's kind of the exact opposite. But we respect your choices. Hey, if you want to smoke crack, that's fine.
I don't think it's about that. I think I don't know. Like, if you did, you watch this? There's a Netflix show called Cooked. Michael Pollan, I think that's the guy.
Cooked.
He's talking about like why humans are in regards to cooking. Like why humans are better than animals. Like more effective is because we eat cooked food, and cooked food takes less time to digest. So we have a lot of time to do other stuff and develop as a society. So I'm developing, Adam. You're the one staying behind.
Well, and fair enough. All I would say is, it is a podcast audio. The idea is you can do other things while you're doing it. Did you watch that Netflix documentary at 2x speed, by the way? Did that give you more time to watch more stuff on Netflix? Do you listen to your music at 2x speed? Because it sounds so good.
You have a point. I agree.
It's, but, because, it's only because I love you, man. It's only because I love
but
you.
But you know, you heard like TikTok. Like, I'm not a TikTok user, but I have a lot of like friends with kids. I don't have any kids, but I have a lot of friends with kids. And all the TikTok music is like in double the speed or triple the speed. And I like that's that's insane.
Yep.
It's an abomination.
Yeah. It is. So, Roy, we're always great to have you on. It's been quite a while. As I said, you were one of the first, you were second, but you're really the only, my dream came true was the only, I'll just call it a wallet. I know it's very controversial to call it that, but a signing app that does Bitcoin and Lightning that added podcasting. And to this day, it is still my go-to to test, to make sure everything's working. You know, whatever podcast I release, first thing I do is did it show up on Breeze, and can I send a Boostagram? And if those two things work, then it's solid for me. And that's really how solid Breeze is as an app. I know you've modernized a couple of things. You want to talk about the podcasting capabilities of Breeze, and then we'll go into all the other stuff that you can bring us up to speed on, the state of the industry, basically?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, as you said, like we try to create the best podcasting user experience. We baked it into the app. I know that's one of the primary reasons why users keep using Breeze. At first, it seems like very, very odd for people, for Bitcoiners to have a podcast player within their wallet. But now it's, I think we normalized that. Like, we kind of made it a standard, and a lot of people are liking this experience, and the experience is very solid. We are actually building our podcasting capabilities on top of a library called Anytime. Mm-hmm. that's the podcasting library. I like the user experience because the user experience as a user, I'm using Breeze, not because I help build Breeze, but because I like it as an interface. The interface is very clean. You don't have all the social network stuff that you have in other podcast players, like Fountain, for example. I understand why Oscar and why other developers are adding these capabilities, but I like the succinct experience of the just listen to a podcast. So
at double speed. I don't want to be confused by interaction with humans. Please.
2.5 speed.
Yeah. 2.5.
Well, and have you considered adding some of the lit capabilities?
Yeah, so strategically, what we want to do, what we've done with Breeze, kind of the Swiss knife model of adding multiple experience into a single app. We also have a point of sale interface within Breeze. That doesn't scale. So in order for us to expand and to add more podcasting capabilities, I think what we need to do, we need to spin off the podcasting feature of Breeze into a separate app. That's why we went through the route of developing a Breeze SDK. We can talk about the Breeze SDK, but the Breeze SDK is the infrastructure that will allow us to have multiple applications that use the same user node, use the same user balance. And that architecture will allow us to have multiple apps. One of the apps, we want a dedicated podcast app. And once we have that, there is no limit to the features that we can take into the
app. Let me understand what you just said. So I can have my Breeze wallet and I just use it for all the Breeze stuff that I do, which believe me, this is how I buy my beef with Breeze, you know, all of this stuff I do through Breeze. I love the experience of the Breeze wallet for Bitcoin and for Lightning. Although I use it for Lightning exclusively pretty much. So what you're saying is I can use with the SDK when this is, you're going to explain this to us, I can have a Breeze dedicated podcast app, but it will take from the same balance. Is that what I heard you say?
Exactly. Mm. That's exactly right. One of the features that the Lightning and Bitcoin in general doesn't have is lacking when comparing to the fiat experience is the fact that multiple applications can work against the same balance. That's a missing feature. That's a big UX drawback when you compare the Lightning applications out there to fiat solution. With fiat, you use your credit card, you put your credit card in an Uber app, you put your credit card in Spotify, you put your credit card wherever, and then all these applications are working against the same account, the same balance. We need a similar experience in the Lightning space, but we need to do that in a non-custodial fashion.
Yes.
And that's why we've developed the Breeze SDK.
Okay, so it's time to bring up this conversation again. And it's actually very timely as we now, things have changed in the last 2 years. I would say Ellen Pay was pretty much the exclusive provider that a lot of people were using, tying their apps into. We had Voltage has done a little bit, but really they're like, you know, get a node that's way too expensive. Podcasters don't like, they're like ham radio operators. They're cheap. Then we have, although they also have new stuff they're working on for liquidity, not quite the same. Then GetAlbi came along, and GetAlbi really showed everybody, hey, here's how you have a wallet, and here's how, and you can connect this to stuff. And I think that was very helpful in showing people the concept of having a central, a wallet that you can use for multiple different applications. The problem is, and we've seen this with almost every system, certainly centralized systems, something goes wrong, everybody's fucked.
Exactly.
Or if, God forbid, the German Luftwaffe comes in and says, we're shutting you down, Al, because whatever, it's not the German rules have changed or the EU rules have changed. And it always makes me shiver as I look at all the success of what's building out and people. And I remember when we just started this, there was a big pushback against even LN Pay. You know, the Bitcoin was like, this is not what we're supposed to do. You know, it's supposed to be decentralized. You're ruining the whole concept. And so here we are in this kind of precarious situation. So the custodial, non-custodial is worth, if you don't mind, re-explaining and what the SDK is going to, how that's going to change this.
Yes, yes, definitely. So there are a few pillars to this non-custodial-custodial discussion. One is, as you said, about we don't want a centralized solution because a centralized solution leads to problems in terms like Blue Wallet from the last couple of days is a great example. Blue Wallet just decided to shut down their service and all the Blue Wallet users.
Whoa,
are
I fucked. Didn't even hear about this. Blue Wallet shut down?
They're shutting down their. They have an LN Hub architecture,
right?
Where you can configure a specific program, a specific software to run on the server, and that software kind of acts like the custodial node of the Blue Wallet users. So by default, they offer their LN Hub instance, and they're shutting down the default instance, basically.
And do you know why they're shutting that down?
I don't know. I can guess.
I mean, just guess, sure, guess.
I think first, they're as a team, they're focused on on-chain capabilities. But I think everyone that provides a custodial service right now is flying under the radar,
right?
And that is limiting in a lot of ways. If you want to be acquired, for example, what do you do with a custodial service? You don't have the proper papers in place. You don't comply to the FinCEN regulation or whatever. You're in trouble, basically. So you need to get rid of the custodial part of your business. So I don't know if Blue Wallet is going to be acquired or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's going to be the case. Everyone that is currently providing a custodial solution is flying under the radar. You can do that only like if you are doing that properly, meaning complying to the regulation. And that's what, for example, Fountain switched their custodial solution to a regulated custodial solution.
Right.
That has,
yeah. Right. Zebedee, right?
Zebedee, exactly. And that has other drawbacks because then all of a sudden you need to do KYC and you need to do it to comply with AML regulation. And that's crap as well. So for me, I think non-custodial, that's the long-term game, and non-custodial will prevail. Not just because it's like decentralized. I'm not a Bitcoin religious guy that says like it's only decentralized. No, it's decentralized because decentralization means something. It provides value to users, and freedom of user is translated to user experience. Not having to have to comply to KYC and AML is a user experience value. The ability to expand globally is a user experience value. So I think we need to push to a non-custodial future, and that's what we've been doing at Breeze since the get-go.
Yeah, for me, it's really more the decentralized part. I mean, I've already had on the. You know, without a doubt, Fountain right now is at the top of the list of people jumping in to listen to podcasts and use value for value for boostograms and streaming payments. And so I do one show with my wife every 14 days. On the very day that we record is when people start to send us boostograms because I want to be mentioned in the show. Fountain has an issue. So all these people were sending stuff. It's going nowhere. It's going into the void. And because that's a centralized solution, then you get the most people that are on that particular system. They all got hurt at once. And that's the problem I have with this, besides all the regulatory stuff and, you know, and it's money.
Robustness. Your robustness is another value proposition, clear value proposition of a decentralized solution.
So how is Breeze going to solve all this?
Well, again, it's not just about Breeze. A Breeze is a mean to an end, and the end is to have a decentralized peer-to-peer money in the world. The way that we're trying to move the needle is by, for the first time, working on a non-custodial SDK, providing developers and vendors and companies the ability to integrate Lightning payments into their applications, but doing that while maintaining the non-custodial architecture. So that's what we've been working on for the past 6-8 months.
So how does it work? How is it possible?
How does it work?
This is trickery. There's got to be something that's in the cloud. You're not being truthful.
When you say non-custodial, and just for clarity, when you say non-custodial, I mean, clearly with the SDK, since it relies on Greenlight, and I'll let you get into that, but since it relies on Blockstream's infrastructure, it's custodial in the sense of keys and fund ownership. It's not custodial in the sense of like hardware.
I differentiate between being a custodian and being centralized. That's not the same thing. So custody, when I refer to custody, I only mean in terms of the keys, like the ability of someone else to use your funds. That's for me, when I say non-custodial, I mean no one can move your funds without your permission. No one can access your funds.
To clarify that a little bit, I think that's important. Maybe people who aren't as knowledgeable about Bitcoin might not understand that if you have control of your own keys, then even if the infrastructure underlying your wallet goes away, you can go and spin up a wallet in a different location, reapply your keys, and your funds are still there. Like your funds live on the chain. They don't live in the wallet. So the risk of losing infrastructure is not really much of a risk other than just functionality. You know, you may lose the function that you're used to, but you don't lose any money. You don't lose any funds.
You're right. But we also aspire to be to minimize the trust in Breeze and to make Breeze also more decentralized, not just non-custodial, but more decentralized. Let's talk about, like Adam asked about the architecture. Let's talk about the architecture, and then I'll explain how we decentralizing the components of the Breeze SDK. How do we do an open LSP platform, and how we gonna add the LDK on top of Greenlight so you're not vendor locked into Blockstream.
Yeah.
So the way the SDK works, right now in Breeze, we run and the user runs a fully featured Lightning node inside the mobile device. What we've done with the SDK is to be able to run the node on the cloud environment. You're right, Adam. That's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
The node is now in a hybrid model where the data of the node resides on the cloud, and the keys are still in the mobile device. So the user holds the key data, the data that can sign the transaction. And the node has all the channel states and all the information that is needed in order to route payments. That's like the decoupling of the signer from the node.
Right. But that's only for that. So you really only need the key pair when you're sending something. Receiving is just open all the time, I expect. Like you wouldn't reject the payment, right?
It will. So that it doesn't solve, and I heard you in the previous shows talk about it. The fact that we are moving to Greenlight and we're adding Greenlight as a solution in Breeze doesn't solve the offline problem of needing to sign the transaction while you're offline. That doesn't solve that. A node on the mobile, node on Greenlight, it has the same issue in that regard.
So what does that mean? Yeah, go ahead.
So, let's get to that in a second. Let's just complete the architecture tour, and then we can drill down.
On your left here, you see the node and the channels. On your right, you see your mobile app. Okay, yes.
Yeah, because the Breeze SDK isn't just an end user node. It's the entire end-to-end stack of being able to send and receive payments. So you need an end user node, but you also need an LSP that provides the liquidity to the end user node. And you need also swap services that provides the on-chain interoperability. So the Breeze SDK is really an end-to-end solution that have all the pieces of the puzzle in order to allow a developer just to call one API to send the payment and one API to receive a payment.
Right.
But we put all the services within the Breeze SDK. So that's the Breeze SDK in a nutshell. And to answer your question, Dave, or your remark about being decentralized, we don't want only to support, Breeze is vendor agnostic. We use the best tool for the job. LDK, we'll also support cloud architecture, and we're going to add LDK to our SDK, so developers will be able to choose a Blockstream or LDK or even host a Greenlight. By the way, Greenlight is going to be open source. They will be able to offload the Greenlight data into their own environment and use their own Greenlight environment, and they will be able to do so with LDK as well. And on the LSP side, it's an open LSP architecture where you can plug in your own LSP. You don't have to rely on Breeze as the liquidity provider.
So, okay.
So, yeah, the offline. I hear the offline problem is bothering you, Adam.
Of course it is. Of course. I mean, you give me this great, you know, maybe you're hearing me in normal pacing, so you're not quite... I'm just kidding. You're used to me talking much faster.
Just say it really quick.
So what it sounds like to me is it won't work out of the box for Keysend with podcasting payments.
You're right. Right now. But we are working, and that's very high on our priority list. There are two things that we can do. One thing that we're already doing, that's going to be released very soon, hopefully, I don't want to, my co-founders will be angry at me, so I'm not going to say, I'm not going to give
it. Because they're the ones doing the work, King Roy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like talking on podcasts, but they're doing the actual work. but soon it's very, very high on our priority list. They already started working on it. We're gonna provide a webhook in the SDK that will allow the LSP and the user node to wake up the client.
So
if the client is offline. And the client is on mobile. By the way, the SDK isn't limited to mobile. Like if you run the SDK in a server environment, you don't have an issue.
Right.
Because the SDK can be notified. SDK can wake up and sign the transaction.
So I'm sorry, keep going. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't want the only issue. Go ahead.
The only issue where we have problems with offline signing is if you run a mobile application. You need to make sure the application gets enough CPU in order to sign the transaction. And this is feasible, very feasible to solve in the Greenlight architecture, because in the Greenlight architecture, unlike the L&D architecture, in L&D, you need to start the node in order to be able to sign. And that takes a lot of time, in relatively a lot of time, like 5 to 10 seconds. That's not enough time in order to respond to a mobile notification in iOS and Android. But in Greenlight, there's no node. You don't need to run a node. You just need to sign a state.
Okay.
It can be done very quickly, and we're going to implement that very soon. So you won't have the offline problem in our SDK. That's the hack. I call it the hack because we're leveraging the capabilities of mobile notification in order to send transactions.
Okay. Let me just break this down. So if someone creates a service or a service for podcasters who want to receive value for value streaming payments and boostergrams, that would all be server based stuff anyway. Presumably a web page, you know, not necessarily something on your mobile. It wouldn't necessarily be an app. So no problem to spin up receiving wallets for podcasters very quickly. It sounds like for podcast listeners who are sending payments, there's no problem out of the box either. Cause you know, you're
sending. No.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Interesting.
But receiving, that will take care of receiving as well. Mm-hmm. But there is another long-term task that requires protocol enhancements in order to support. It's called async payments in Lightning. There are a few features, including Bolt 12, including Blindnet Path, including Onion Messages, that are needed to be implemented in order to implement asynchronous payments in the infrastructure. Currently in Lightning, you can send only if the user, the payee and the payer are online at the same time. Async payment will enable Lightning payments where the receiver can be offline.
How is that happen? I mean, is there a watchtower involved? I mean, like what's...
No, the LSP is actually involved. This requires another node that holds another online node that holds the payment. The problem, you can implement that already right now. Like you, let's say you have two mobile clients and both are using LSPs, mm-hmm. a Lightning service, like a node that connects them to the network. You can send the payments to the payee LSP. The payee LSP can hold the payment until the payee is back online. That's easy to implement. The problem with that solution is that in Lightning, you lock the liquidity along the route. And that's a bad solution because if you lock the liquidity until the payee is back online, then you can't use the liquidity for other payments. So the secret sauce, like the magic with the async payment solution, is to hold the payment at the first hop, at the initial hop between the payer and the LSP of the payer.
Ah, that's the async part. Okay, I gotcha.
Exactly.
So this brings up two questions. I'll start backwards. Pricing. Now, the way you will do this will be percentages of everything. There's no upfront fee.
Yes.
You just it's a percentage of transactions, et cetera, whatever Breeze kind of does now, I presume.
Yes, exactly.
It's
just about augmenting our current model of leveraging Lightning fees. Lightning has an inherent business model baked into it, and we're leveraging the Lightning business model. I don't want to reinvent anything.
Great.
I believe in the Lightning routing fees.
Yeah, me too. And I also believe in fees in general, and that's why I propose hosting companies should look into something like this and spin it up and take a percentage instead of a monthly fee. Second thing, I'm very concerned personally about what's happening with Noster and Zaps and all this crap, and it looks like Lightning is really not being used much anymore. Everyone's going towards LNURL. Dave will have to jump in, but there seems to be any other way than we're doing it, which of course we architected because we're genius. It puts so much weight on podcast apps that it's going to become very inefficient. And even although I like what's happening with Noster, there's Zaps. I mean, it's caused all kinds of problems, and I'm not sure if this is good, other than getting people in the habit of transacting. I think that's very good, but I'm worried about KeySend in general and how LNURL. We have a whole group called the LNURL Mafia, and they come in and they stomp all over you, and then they leave and they do nothing. It just seems problematic to me. I may be overreacting
a bit. Ellen, you're really
stop being so hysterical.
Ellen URL is a workaround, and everyone acknowledges that Ellen URL is a workaround. It's in place because it bridges some gaps that exist currently in the specification. With Bolt 12, you don't need Ellen URL because you can initiate a payment without
without an invoice.
Without an invoice, and that leaves us, if that exists, that leaves us with the async issue that is also on track to be resolved. When we have async payment support, then we can also support Bolt 12 in a non-custodial fashion. So I think again we're running a marathon here, right? Mm-hmm. And there are some stuff that are not ideal right now and centralized right now and custodial right now. But I see a clear path where everything is converged into a non-custodial clean solution within the protocol itself. So I'm not too worried about that. That's why I also have been always very pragmatic in Breeze in supporting these protocols. Like we support Ellen URL and we support Lightning Address because we understand that the market need like these features. And we don't mm-hmm. want to say, no, you don't need this feature. Yeah, you need the Lightning address because it's easier to send a payment with a Lightning address. I just want to have a Lightning address supported in a non-custodial fashion. So that's
So Bolt 12, what you're saying is Bolt 12, which I'm told will not be here until my grandchildren are in college.
Yeah, we've been hearing about Bolt 12 for 2 years. I mean, like LND, to me, Lightning Labs and LND is the holdup.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And that's the stuff that concerns me. Like, I spend a lot of time advocating for Bolt 12, and I think, we need to get LND on board, but LND will get on board. And by the way, you talked about Noster. The people that are taking part in the Noster development, they understand the importance of Bolt 12. They do also want to support Bolt 12. They also want to use the Breeze SDK and to integrate Breeze into Noster clients. So I think I'm far more optimistic than you, Adam.
Oh, I'm not. Okay, good. I'm glad you're optimistic. We've only been talking about it for a year. The Noster thing is fascinating to me, because it's such a poor experience as any kind of social. I mean, I know that it's not supposed to be a social media or a competitor to Twitter. I understand it's building blocks, but this is the first application, which is, by the way, is always a drag on any new technology. Like, okay, here's what we're using it for. When you say Noster now, it's agnostic. It's like, oh, you mean the decentralized Twitter? And it's far from a decentralized Twitter. It's not a great experience. And the only thing it's serving right now is people are sending each other zaps, which I think is fantastic. I mean, that's it. It really, there's no content. All it is PV, Pura Vida, here, I zapped you. I zapped you back. That's all that it is. And so they have to be very careful to make sure that everyone understands how, because I really believe there's a future for this. But there's so many loose things hanging left and right, and you know, having celebrity people like Dorsey endorsing it, throwing money out, you know, sats to get stuff going, and I really hope it graduates from where it is right now, because I really see a future for Noster as the notes over, you know, relays and things or whatever.
I think the problems in Noster are different. We can talk about that as well. But yes, it's early tech, and you can't tell people like, guys, let's wait till we have a standard for async payments and then you'll be able to implement your zaps. They're excited. They want to implement zaps, and you need to let them play with zaps, and they educate the market about the importance of zaps instead of likes, and that's a good thing. Yeah. So there's a lot of good. The problems with Noster, I think you're right to say that Noster is more than a platform than a Twitter alternative. And what I would like to see is more, is like the expansion of Nostr into other clients and being integrated in other clients. Like, what's Nostr? Nostr is like a public subscribe model, where you can receive messages that you want to receive. So I'm not sure that it can, basically in order to work efficiently, it needs to have like a fat client, like a smart client. And all the work is being done in the clients. And I'm not sure users are used to the experience of an intelligent client, because all the information, all the logic is in the client. It's not in the relays. I have a sense, I have a feeling that relays will have to evolve and be smarter and even add the
filtering.
Filtering and AI algorithms to provide good content for
caching,
users.
Yeah.
Caching.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all the stuff that years and years went into ActivityPub. And even though I have not looked under the hood of what the relay does, I know what it does. It's like, holy crap, there's going to be, the good thing that's come out of that is, hey, you can pay to use my relay. Okay, now we're talking. That's great.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of development that needs to be done on the relays before it can be really functional. And you kind of have to have your own relay with your own group, which, by the way, is Mastodon.
Mastodon. Yeah, maybe. You mean like more? Yeah, I don't know if it can scale to like hundreds of thousands of users and millions of users. Maybe they will have to be more focused on specific use cases, specific discussions and groups.
Well, hundreds of thousands of users using ULN URL, that's called a DDoS attack. I mean, that's probably going to be, I mean, like, that's the concern I have is, you know, in some ways, Nostr as a replacement for Twitter was probably the worst. It's probably the worst use case. Like, it would have almost been better if they had gone some different route and just been like pure PubSub subscribe, you know, mechanism, instead of trying to recreate Twitter on Nostr. Because you get in there. I installed the client for the first time this past week just so I could speak and, you know, understand what
was
going
on. You have like 100 clients. Like
Damus.
You have you're lucky. That's the best client out there.
Yeah, well, I've installed that.
I'm not an iOS user, so I don't have the fortune of using
me neither, Damus. Roy. Me neither. I'm stuck with all the jank shit. I got, I'm using
Amethyst.
Amethyst? I don't like Amethyst and Iris. Iris actually works a little better than Amethyst.
Iris, Amethyst, Snort. Like, I use all of them.
Yeah.
The experience has gotten better. Like, let's say, it's early tech. I'm coming from an enterprise software. Like, in enterprise software, you would never release something like Nostr. Never.
No.
So it's early tech, but I see an improvement. Like, as a user, I see relays are more stable, more robust, more serious. Like, I see the improvement in the UX as well now.
I'm just afraid when the child porn stuff shows up, and there's going to be no way to handle it, and it's just gonna the whole thing's gonna melt down because it can blow. This thing can blow up in a thousand different ways, and I'm not sure people are prepared for the blow up. What's wrong with
blow ups? It's good. It will progress.
I don't want to sound too critical.
Bitcoin. I think I like the tech experiment, and I think that will only result in evolution and improvement. It's not Bitcoin. Like, I don't think we need to apply the Bitcoin mindset of everything needs to be very, very robust and stable in order to, it's a building, it's the most basic building block. I think in Nostr, there's room to make mistakes. And we should expect that things will blow up, and they will, and it's good. It's going to be for the good.
I just look at trends. That's kind of what I do. And I see it's censorship resistant. I'm like, okay, no. This, not yeah, really. There's just a little bit too much of that marketing.
Yeah, let's talk about that because I think that's the key. Like censorship resisting my ass because at the end of the day, it's an iOS app and it's a Google Play app. And right. everything is being controlled by Google and Apple by the end of the day. So
that's
so
what I see as the most likely outcome to this, honestly, Roy, is that we have seen this already. I mean, look at Truth Social. Look at these website. Look at these social networks that got pulled from and Gab and these. They got pulled from the app stores because they didn't meet the moderation requirement. You're required if you run a social network and put your social network app in the app stores. You're required by Google and Apple to have a moderation
yep.
functionality. And yeah, if you don't have that,
I think they must comply to that. I think Deimos did add Deimos, Nostradamus. I don't know what, how do you pronounce that. But I think they added some features to be able to comply with this regulation. They do have a way to mark sensitive content. They do have a way to filter stuff at the client that the client can say, I don't want to see sensitive content. So I think they've made some work. I'm not familiar with all the NIPs. But they added some nips to deal with these requirements. But if Apple won't like Deimos, then Deimos won't be a client.
Right. By the way, yeah. ISO of the day?
Censorship resisting my ass.
I love that. Great ISO, right? Great ISO.
What is this ISO bot?
This is some bot. They're literally transcribing the podcast in real time. You do $ ISO, and then you type in the words you want isolated, and it spits back an MP3.
This is voodoo because I saw somebody do this a while ago, and they misspelled the transcript, and it still found it.
Yeah, Roy, you're not in the chat room probably, but it's crazy what's going on here. They literally have a bot where you say I typed in $ ISO censorship resistant my ass and it sent back that MP3 in the chat room with a link. This is magic. It is.
Yeah, I don't understand. Somebody anyway. Needs to get SaaS for this. Is what I'm saying because this is incredible. Well, I'm also a little concerned about the bifurcation. That's where we made this model. Of, you know, boosts and payment methodologies over spontaneous payments over Lightning and that kind of thing. And it feels like the NIP 57 stuff just sort of went a completely different direction because it's LNURL.
What is that? And, NIP 57? What is that? I have no idea what that is.
That's a Zap. That's the protocol for how to do a Zap.
Oh.
And it's all based around LNURL, but it feels like, okay, now we have...
Because I think that's the key.
We had already done this, done the work here to get some Boostergram and all this stuff. And over
the thing with Zaps is that you want to be able you want the knowledge that a Zap was executed. You don't get that with KeySend. You do get that with NIP 57.
And so I'm glad you brought that up, Roy, because that, see, I feel like that could have been the solution to that could have been Alex's JSON payment token, which gives you a payment receipt for your KeySend in response. That could have been truly asynchronous. So you could have, you send your KeySend and then wait to receive your JPT back with your payment receipt and like then you get the best of both worlds. You get KeySend without the LNURL overhead, and you get the payment receipt. Like I feel like they went off and just sort of did this stuff, without consulting. But I mean, podcasting 2.0. I mean, we're slinging Sats around all over the place, and it's, and I feel like we've kind of been down this road before.
Also, some work being done to add Lightning addresses into the podcast index spec, right? So I think everything is converged with a Lightning address, and now the Lightning address can be a KeySend interface, it can be an LNURL interface, and it can be when Bolt 12 is is popularized, it can be also ball 12. So I don't think it's an issue because everything will be consolidated around Lightning address at the end of the day.
How long do you think it's going to take to get to for LND to move on Bolt 12? So I'm just saying, is it going to be 2 years? Work. I mean,
No. There is already work being done. Spiral actually are funding. Either Spiral or Chaincode. Someone is funding Clara, a developer that used to work for Lightning Labs on LND. Now she's working for either Chaincode or Spiral. I think Spiral, but and she's working on this stuff at the LND code base, and I think her work will be accepted and will be merged. There is an external push outside of Lightning Labs to integrate Bolt 11, Bolt 12 features into LND. I'm not sure it's mandatory for LND to support Bolt 12, because I think there will be other solutions. And if LND won't support Bolt 12, I think they will be the one that are left behind.
Okay, yeah, that's good to hear. I'm glad that there's at least movement on it, because it seemed like it was just ignored for a long time.
Yeah. I don't want to portray the LND guys and the Lightning Labs guys as the bad guys here. They have on their plate. Their 95%+ of the nodes are running their software, so I'm sure they're busy. There are some, by the way, it's not just with LND. I think the challenge, if we're talking about issues and problems with Lightning, and if we're doing like a SWOT analysis for Lightning, I think the fact that every implementation push for their own protocol agenda, that's the main problem of Lightning. LDK are pushing to their own direction. LND are pushing into their own direction. Async and CLN as well. So that's a problem.
We see the same thing in podcasting. I mean, every podcast app pushes in their own direction and does their own thing, and then you end up with most of the time it's a beautiful thing because everybody sort of adheres to a common base protocol. A sort of a common way of doing things, and it's great. But then there's a level of complexity that you want to reach to do a specific thing, and it just kind of falls down because everybody's going their own way. So anytime you got this much level of decentralization, you're always going to fight these battles and going to have some,
especially around bruises. Standardization. I don't know how you can do this standardization discussions. Like, I always opt out at some point. Like, I can't. Like, everyone has an opinion, and it's very, very, very hard to.
Oh, this is exactly what happened with podcasting for 10 years. Everyone had an opinion. They had groups and steering committees and nonprofits and industry groups. And ultimately, everybody is in it for their own business. And that only works if everyone's a part of the money flow. That, I think, is, and I'm going to say it until I spit my last breath into the microphone. That is what podcasting 2.0, that's why it works, because everybody has an opportunity to get into the flow of the money, no matter what you're doing. That's the secret. And even the communists don't know it. We have the French guys.
Yeah, so I think part of the problem with Lightning, that Lightning is still looking for a go-to-market fit. So the money isn't really there. So the groups, like the various implementation, they can't really align around the requirements because everyone has their own requirements and they think they have a different, like slightly different product market fit. And that's a problem.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understood what you just said there. I mean,
Lightning is still looking for, like L&D is focused on an enterprise infrastructure. LDK are focusing on mobile clients. CLN are focusing on cloud environment.
I see, that's like the problem. No one's focused on an actual real world application.
No, it's an infrastructure. Yes, it's an infrastructure work, and we don't really know. We don't see the money yet. Let's be honest. If the money was there, I think everyone would be able to align around the priorities and what requirements are more important than others. But it doesn't happen right now.
That all depends on what you define the money as being. I mean, we've amassed a full Bitcoin over the course of the project so far. We would starve if that's what we had to live on, but we're pretty happy. I mean, it's like a magic money machine to me.
Well, that brings me back. That's what I was talking about. Bolt 12 is because if you want to look at anything that's an actual real world use application, it seems to me that there's two things that have floated to the top in the Lightning world that are real world use applications. One is remittance payments across borders, international borders. That's a legit use case that's actually powering a lot of financial improvement in people's lives. And the other one is spontaneous payments for created works, whether it's podcasting 2.0
or a Zap music, or whatever,
or a Zap over Nostr or whatever. So you have remittance payments, which are fine for which are fine to do with invoices, pre-generated invoices. But then the big 800-pound gorilla for use case with Lightning is spontaneous payments in response to media demand, created works. Yeah. And so that means you need Bolt 12. Yeah.
You need Bolt 12 let's talk about the use cases that you just presented. Remittance, for some people in the Lightning community, remittance means you need to support stable coins on Lightning. Yeah. That means Taro. L&D, Lightning Labs are focused on Taro. Taro means Taproot channels. Taproot channels require a lot of work. So, challenging.
Yeah.
Well, with that comes a misnomer, and I still read it. We were reading an article today. The concept of value for value versus tipping. I think most development organizations see what we're doing as, that's tipping. If you consider it to be tipping, then at the end of the game, you're going to get a fraction of the tip. You know, it's like, you're not going to make a lot. But as Dave pointed out, that's interesting. I got to think about the instant, what would you say, Dave, about for creative work? You had a
spontaneous
nice
payment.
Spontaneous payment. Yeah, spontaneous payment for creative work. I mean, it's an industry that is hundreds of billions of dollars. We just haven't figured out how to capture it yet.
I mean, people have spent, I saw a million sat Zap the other day I forget who it was to. And then, I mean, we've gotten a 5 million sat boostergram. Like these are significant amounts of money that are going through spontaneous payments. So if they lean into that, I think it would really help people, you know, to know the way forward. Because everybody you talk to says, well, Keysend, you know, that's hacky. I would like to use something that's not hacky. That would be great.
I agree. And I think all the people in the ecosystem agree around the use cases. It's not just about the use cases. It's how to go about implementing these use cases.
Right.
Some think it should be completely decentralized. Some think that we need to work on building custodial infrastructure. That means enterprise solution, enterprise-grade solutions. Again, with a stablecoin, something we need to add. We must add a stablecoin layer in order to popularize the solution. So it's not just about the use. Let's see, for example, let's take a concrete example. A remittance now, you can do using Strike, Bitnob, Pouch. Like there are the way that remittance are working on top of Lightning right now is using custodial applications that gives you integration with existing fiat systems. That's the way that you do remittance on top of Lightning right now. And there are some people in the ecosystem that that think that we need to keep remittance in fiat.
But they're building a real world solution for their own benefit instead of thinking further down the road. So that specifically Strike, they use stable coins and all kinds of stuff to get it into fiat on the other end. And so they're forcing a use case, which is not necessarily the best for Lightning long-term.
Again, like in Bitcoin and in Lightning in general, the best for Lightning, the best for Bitcoin is dependent on the community and the people that are building the solution. And there's no consensus around what's best for Lightning, what's best for Bitcoin. It's by definition, it's inherently there's no one answer to that. And since there's no a single answer to that,
right,
there you have different people pulling in different directions.
So when can I build the Breeze SDK? Like when can I build it?
Come on, Dave. Just open.
you said I needed green light though. You said I needed the green light part. Right.
Oh, I did. Oh, sorry. So that's my bad. I didn't give you green light access. Okay. No, we try to upload the crate into a repo that you won't have to build the Breeze SDK. I don't know. So I waited for the team to get that done in order to give you like access to the crate instead of forcing you to build the SDK. Currently, the early design, we're in the early alpha stage. Put that out there, and we're working with the selected design partners that are already working and building and giving us feedback on the SDK. But in order to do that, you need the green light access. I wanted to help Dave and spare him the need to build the SDK and upload the crate to a repo. I need to check where we are.
We're clearly not a partner, Dave. We're not a partner. We're not a partner.
Partner access.
Yeah, we're not. But partner access. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a partner.
You sound like my mother.
Now I'm like a Jewish woman. Okay.
Exactly.
I want to bring your attention to something which I'm very excited about, which I am sure will be one of the first to integrate this, and that's the Music Side Project, musicsideproject.com.
Yeah.
Just so you know that, you know, we're using the 2.0 namespace to tag music in the index. Mm-hmm. This is Stephen B's project, who does a CurioCaster and Sovereign Feeds. It's fantastic. I love
and Wavelake are using the same specification.
I think Wavelake put 100 artists into the index. Dave, what happened there exactly?
They're lighting their whole catalog up as it comes in.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And you agree, Adam, that in order to support music, we need a separate, dedicated user app experience for music, right?
Yeah, is that what you're building? Mm-hmm.
Anyone will be able to build it using the Breeze SDK. But
well, that's what Music Side Project is ready for. I mean, you know, it's a web app right now, but I like web apps personally. I'm okay with that. So he could use it out of the box without any of the wake up stuff.
If they integrate Breeze SDK into their server,
sure.
Yeah, that's what I want the Breeze SDK for. I have use cases for it on our node. I mean, we do a lot of stuff, so I want to get in there and start using. I've got ideas, and so mine's going to be totally a server side thing. We don't do apps, so I mean, I think the server use case to me is the most straightforward right out of the box. You just hit it and go.
Bitcoin NFTs or something, right?
Oh, no. Yes. More ordinals, please. More ordinals. Yes. Yay. We love ordinals.
We want to thank some people.
Oh, my goodness. Is it that time already? Wow. Yeah. I'm all lightninged out here. Yes, of course we do. Hold on a second. Let me thank some of the people who have been sending in some boostergrams while we were lit. NA Millennial. 5432, don't know if you've heard, but ISOBOT is Cotton Gin's baby. Seems value split worthy to me. I would love to use the ISOBot all the time in every show I do. Let me know where I can sign up. I love getting access to services by adding a split in the value block. It is one of the most exciting things a podcaster could do. A nice
Sasso. That's a problem, by the way, Adam. Like the amount of splits that we have in Podcast Index is I don't know if it's good.
What do you mean? You can't just lob that out there and just say I don't know if that's good. What? Tell me what's wrong. What's happening?
I think it's good for boosts. Meaning, how many splits you have right now? 8 or 9 or 10 or something like
on
that?
On the show?
On this show?
On the show.
No, it's a lot.
No, hold on. Hold on. We have, I'll tell you right now. Value 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had 8, but after that comment, we have 7. We're taking you out.
and add the app split as well. So
yes, don't forget. Correct. And podcast index. So there's 10 probably. 10, yeah. 10 coming. Yes. Now, I'm sure that's not efficient is what you're going to say.
And it's okay when you do boost for streaming sats per minute. I think.
But you're caching them. But you're. I mean, everyone.
That's what I. Yeah. So you have a way to work around this stuff by doing like client side caching.
Right.
But
right.
It means that you have to have like again back to the smart client problem. You need to have a smarter client to deal with these issues.
Got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay. Well, luckily, Breeze is very smart about that. Right?
I like dumb software. I don't like smart software.
Okay. Well, so
I believe that too.
I see the problems, obviously, but Bolt 12 will fix all that. Just tell me that's true.
Well, smart software. The problem with smart software is it can't ever be smart enough, and so that there's always going to be a hole. Yeah.
Exactly. Or. Maybe it's time to abstract that. Can we have a boost class? So,
Stop.
Okay. I'm sorry. Stop. Come on, man. This was a good idea. So, you know, the podcast index boost class would be you, me, the index, you know, a couple of things we stick in there and it's just one address and it splits somewhere else down the line. Is that crazy? Okay. Stop. Yeah. Boobery.
No,
with,
it's not.
See?
It's not, by the way.
It's not what?
It's not crazy.
Dave, my new friend Roy says it's not a boost class. Okay, I'm just saying. You know, if so, the reason I think we made this up with the remote item. If I play a song on a new podcast that I'm going to do, and I'm playing new music from the index, and I want to boost, that product. Which by itself may have 8 splits because of, you know, who wrote it, who composed it, who played the guitar, who sang, etc. That would be a boost class. So I would send an amount, which would be a split of my show to that class, and that class would then split it individually.
Yeah. Yeah, and technically I don't want to get too geeky about it. You can do that. Maybe you can do that with Bolt 12 because that will allow you, Bolt 12 will allow you to, unlike Eason, there is interaction with the payee before you pay them, so they can initiate a new type of invoice, which is kind of similar to a hold invoice, where the entity that will do the splits later on, they can't take the funds, but they will be able to create an invoice. You send the funds to that entity. And they can split the funds later on using the invoice.
This is a Bitcoin Bible study. This is exactly what this is.
You're back in the split. Okay. Back in the split. Boobery 11,111. Cheers to IRC and the badasses who make it the hottest spot with bots on the internet to hang. Is it possible to boost via IRC? I think it is, actually. I think there's some. I'm sure something has been done. IRC, one of the oldest chat mechanisms on the internet, still fantastic today. Lyceum with 1776. Good to hear Roy's future plans. Liberty Boost. What is the acronym SDK stands for? Software Development Kit. Best Premises. That's Martin Lindeskog, Tea Party Media Podcast. Chad F. with 3333. He says, with Neuralink, you'll be able to download podcasts straight to your brain, no listening required. Yes, that's what, yes, yes. And the boost will be extra, extra nutritious.
Yeah, you can put the Breeze SDK into it, non-custodial, right in your brain.
$15,000 from Matt Medeiros. Thank you, Matt. Always be closing, Dave. Like, check out the podcastsetup.com. Douche mode activated, 2x speed. He's, his brain is so fried that we don't even know what you're talking about.
it's just word salad. It's just word salad.
That's what happens. That's what happens to you. Chad F., another 3333. We are experiencing the death of fiat podcasting. Yes, we are. That's exactly what's going on. I like fiat that too. Fiat podcasting. The fiat industrial podcast complex. Chad F. with another one. While doing my V for V reports, I tried listening to the donation sections at 1.25x and couldn't even do it. Yes, Chad has taken upon himself to document how much we receive in value for value and fiat and on each. Basically, the whole podcast index, podcasting 2.0 project, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I hope he's going to chart it because I'm not quite sure.
His middle name is Chad XL Pharaoh.
That's right. Yes. Sir Spencer, 42,069 sats. Lorian and I would like to, thank you, by the way, would like to invite the board and all interested parties, the promoting stuff, to our upcoming Bowls with Buds featuring the legendary Podsafe Dave Jones this Sunday.
I'm the bud.
Live, Sunday, after no agenda. This week was the one-year anniversary of Live Items debut, which took place the last time Dave was on. That's right. February 20th, 2022. Yeah. That was just 2 days before the Ukraine war. Yay. No, so we'll be talking about Live Items first year in retrospect and where we go next. Go live, go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
A lot of good boosts today. Lyceum, super row of ducks, 22,222. Ducks in a row. Congrats on the new domain name. Podcastapps.com. That is, again, Martin Linda's code. Boobery back. 7777 says, you're not even my real dad. Did we talk about... I guess that goes back to the beginning of the show. Eric PP, thank you. I got your mail, Eric PP. 33,333. Pillow Fort Podcasting. That's for Roy with his pillow fort built up around his setup. Boost the Groove with another 33,33. And let's see, we have Tone Wrecker. 20202, nice, 20,202. Music projects on Value for Value are ripping along, seeing more artists testing the waters each week. Need to work with Stephen B. to get some artists released or catalog filter with a cap on so I don't overrun what is displaying in initial feed on the music side project site. Just excited to test and learn, not dominate over additional artists appearing in pages. Not sure. Again, you know, stop. Listen at normal speed. We can't understand what you're saying.
he's flooding the zone. That's what's happening. He's flooding the zone with music.
Exactly what's happening. And, Todd Cochran, 150,000 sats.
Baller. Woo! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He says, big thank you to the Fountain team in getting their app demo video out. Oh, did we miss a demo video? I'll have to find that. Pure listener and podcaster marketing videos like this are needed. Indeed. Apps need to be promoting. Hosting companies need to be promoting. That's not what we do, clearly. Also, People's Choice Podcast Awards registration is open. Be nice to honor a stack of podcasting 2.0 podcasts. It would be indeed. Although I get my awards right online where it shows that we're the top earner. That's the awards for me every week. Hey, we're on top again. At podcastawards.com. There you go. We have our round two blueberry stack of new features planned for the GUI meeting next week. Let's keep the ball rolling. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Nice.
Thank you very, very much, Todd. Yeah, Todd, man. Todd would be the one to implement my idea, by the way. Give people a wallet. Get that Breeze SDK integrated right into your stack there. So you don't have to do anything but call one API call. And insert yourself into the ever-growing list of splits. And just take that. Take 20% right off the top here. Free account. Go ahead. But you have to do 2.0.
I'm always surprised at the people. Like Dave Weiner this week said Podcasting 2.0 is a terrible name.
Yeah, the guy who used RSS 2.0. Please give me a break.
Yeah, at least always stunned at the people who are shocked that about our lack of marketing skills. I'm like, you should know this by now. I mean, well, like, this is not what we do.
I can tell you, Dave Weiner's head is crooked, and it's very much in the Leo Laporte arena. Because when he says that, I know how he thinks, and this is why we don't get along. He thinks, oh, Adam's trying to capture something for himself. Call it Podcasting 2.0. In fact, I am on record literally saying Podcasting 2.0 is just podcasting.
Yes, you have said this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But you got to call it something. You can't call it roast beef. I mean, we got to call it something. So, I mean, just grab something out of the air. Whatever.
It's a double-edged sword. Sword, you know.
Sword.
I'm slissing like a mofo. It's so bad. It's only been a week.
Let me rescue you with
some
PayPal.
Please. I just need to. If I push the bottom lip, if I press the lip against my decrepit hole between the temporary teeth and my gums, it's gone.
Maybe get some tape.
I'm going to go get some scotch tape. Hold on. You start reading those. I'll be right back.
All right. Marco, $500. Marco Arment. Thank you very much. Comes in every month. And we're hopefully doing a project with Dan Benjamin soon. So Marco was gracious enough to give Dan some feature that he needed in his API. So we're... Marco, very much appreciated in this. Hopefully, we'll get some 2.0 stuff out of him soon. Buzzsprout, also $500.
Go Podcasting! Dakala, 20 is Blaze on the Impala.
I just heard that as I was coming back. Hold on, let me just do this. Hold on.
Are you taping your bottom lip?
Yeah.
To your teeth?
Yeah, let me see. No, I'm taping it. Oh, this, put one under my lip here.
Tighter. Yeah.
Tighter. Okay. How's this? No, it doesn't work.
No, it's worse.
And it hurts. Thank you, Marco. Just as I was walking out to get the tape, I heard Marco. Thank you so much, Marco.
Yes. And the boys from Buzzsprout, we appreciate them every month. And they've got stuff coming too. So we're
good. What do you mean they got stuff coming? They got new stuff coming?
I can't tell you what they got coming.
What? We got secrets now? Okay.
Right, yeah, some Tom told me. Roy,
let's not tell Dave about that thing, okay?
I'm just going to tell you that Joshua Hoover gave us $150.
Holy crap. What?
Baller. Shot caller. Who is this? 20 inch blades on the Impala.
Who is this?
Boost. Joshua Hoover from the podcast index.social. He's working on some stuff, and I helped him this week with some API.
Thank you,
issues.
Man. That's nice. Thank you very much.
He says, keep up the great work, Adam and Dave. And we will. Yes. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. We got some boostergrams. Let's see. Let me scroll to the top of my boostergram. Oh, here we go. Hal was right. Sent us a satchel of Richards, 1111. He says, I saw the live tag on Podverse and I felt compelled to boost.
Yes, that's how it works.
Boost! Absurdient sent us 100,000 sats. And he says, hey ho, and go podcasting.
Yeah. Go podcasting!
I should probably mention last week, somewhere midweek on the on-chain Tallycoin, Dreb Scott, 80,000 sats.
No, the only guy that
the only person who ever uses an on-chain donation. Yeah, just goes to show.
He went old school in the middle of a mempool hurricane, too, and paid fees for that.
He's like a honey badger. He just doesn't give a shit. No, doesn't care. Yeah.
Thank you, Absurdient, for those 100,000 sats. Appreciate that so much. Harv Hat, 10101, through CurioCaster, no note. Thank you, Harv Hat. Chad F, 3333, this beef milkshake ain't right is a phrase I never want to hear again.
Boost, boost, boost.
I'm telling you, it was just a big chunk. It was non-drinkable. I would have had to eat it with a spoon.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
A beef chunk in your milkshake. It's just also wrong.
Melissa texted me just a second ago and said beef box on the front porch. So I'm good to go after the show.
Ooh, at KNC? Another KNC? Yeah, nice.
Yep. Anon of Woodland Shire. Oh, that's a beautiful name. Anon of Woodland Shire. 99,950 sats through Podverse.
Wow.
He or she says, I think I just purchased Bitcoin for the first time to participate in the V4V. I hope I did this right. Is the amount very little, or am I being cheap? I'm handicapped.
99,000. That's just a little. I'm going to throw in a couple extra sats and give you a.
Baller. There you go. No. Shakala, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Yeah. We don't have a sat sound, I guess.
We don't. You don't. It's like the penny drop. Yeah. We don't have a penny.
No.
We need like a digitized version of whatever that is.
There it is.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You threw in
threw an extra sat. Yeah.
Thank you, Anon of Woodland Shire. Macintosh 2121 through Fountain. He says, I love the idea of a searchable index of transcripts. The index of the data isn't hard. It's the putting together of meaningful, complex searches, but I would personally use it multiple times a week if it happened to be available. Anyways, we can dream right. Go podcasting, Macintosh.
Yes. Go podcasting!
And big up to the same Stephen B. once again. Transcript-search.vercel.app. It's in the show notes. He has created a very basic transcript search, which I have used 5 times this week already. This is so genius. You can search the directory now. So, podcasting 2.0. You type that in and then it gives you, okay, you select the podcast and then you want to search for a term. Let's search for douche. And, actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like a whole bunch of episodes where we use the term douche. Oh, my goodness. And you can click on it, and then it shows you the whole rundown, and then you can actually click on the time, and it gives you the audio.
Hearing this message.
Hi, I'm a douchebag. Hi, I'm Adam. That's how fast it goes. I mean, that is phenomenal. It needs a domain name. I'm gonna buy a domain name for you, Stephen. I love this. He has he asked for transcript search tool for some support. I would put you in you should lock this down to only people who put you in their split. Split number 14 for my podcast now.
I wonder how this transcript software will deal with my Israeli accent. I think I'm going to break the software.
It's only as good as the transcripts. I mean, I guess because I have, I do transcripts. Interesting. I don't know. It does pretty well with stuff like that.
Well, when you said my ass a while ago, it picked that up pretty quick. It was on top of the game with that.
It did.
Yeah, most certainly did. Nailed that one. Yeah. Let's see. We got Gene Bean, 4,096 sats. That's a 4K killa boost is what that is. Fountain. Wow. He says the female hackers are just smart enough not to get caught. That's right. That's right. Macintosh again, 2121. No note. Thank you, Macintosh. Big Row of Ducks, 22222 through from Gene Bean. He says, mad props to Nathan for what he's done with Steno.fm. It's really impressive. I particularly love the way the transcripts are presented and that trailers are presented prominently. Also, seeing my show Volunteer Technologist in the trending list is pretty cool. Oh, nice.
All right. Excellent.
I didn't know he did that show. That's
for some reason, our transcripts don't show up.
In what?
In
Steno?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I wonder if it's a browser bug or something. Browser.
Oh, it may be a Core's issue.
Core. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of yeah. He's fighting that battle a lot because it's all in browser.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Mere Mortals podcast, our buddy Kyron over there, 2222. He says, geez, so many waking up to glory jokes. I don't even know where to start.
Nice. What's that, streamer?
Exactly.
Khalil, 99.99 through Fountain. He says, about the search, would it be possible to create some sort of pod rank by scanning transcripts for mentions of other podcasts? Probably AI needed or something. Anyways, go podcasting. My first boost with love, Khalil.
Go podcasting!
Yeah, that could give you some sort of like, you know, link, incoming link type reference. Yeah, I could see that.
I would like to know. Well, that's kind of like the activity feed that Fountain has. If I see that you, if I see my friend has boosted a podcast with, you know, 50,000 sats, I'm going to be interested. Yeah. You know, that kind of correlation is what really, I love that. I love seeing it.
I'll just say again that I think this needs to be a podcast index API, the activity.
The activity feed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how do we do that? We don't have that information, though, do we?
Yeah, we do, though. We have the boost. Not for everything, because it's voluntary.
Clients need to push the information, and then it needs to be indexed by the index and have, like, a unified API for all the clients.
Oh, that, you know, that is a road of arguments.
Yeah. Well, Slood, 33333, he says, Dave, I want to give you a tip that I learned from the Andrew Huberman podcast. If you add a little bit of caffeine into your beef milkshake, it would actually increase the flavor profile subconsciously and form an addiction, but in a good way. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Hold on, I'm just struck by what Roy said. So, and what you said. So we could basically, since we, if people are supporting the index when they use the API, we can see which podcasts receive which amount of boosts or money. Mm-hmm. In fact, we could do by transactions, by boost. We wouldn't even have to do it by amount, but we could do it by number of boosts, number of transactions.
Yeah, and that's that's part of what I'm thinking for the Breeze SDK is I'd like to have some separate function for that.
Yeah, I agree. Because doing it on the big voltage node is scary.
Yeah, do you know... Roy, that we had when we exported, we had to export all the transactions for our taxes, and we have almost 6 million transactions on the node.
Only 6 million.
It doesn't fit in an Excel sheet.
And I can say that because I'm a Jew.
Yeah, only 6 million.
Hey now.
Yes. Yes. Let me rephrase that. We only have 6 million. I'm talking to the guy who probably has 47 billion transactions across your node fleet.
Hey, Dave, I'm putting that high in the top of my brain, what you just said, though. I love this idea. I talked to you
this morning about. I said we need some stats pages, you know, that sort of give that.
Because, I love that. Yes,
because I was reading that article and it was like Nostrzaps. Oh yeah, and there's this podcasting 2.0 thing.
Tips.
Nostrzaps.
Tipping has increased with podcasts. It's like okay. I'm putting this high on my scale of things I'd love to see. Yes, that would be the best marketing ever, and just make it available for anybody. Just take a look. Oh, here's what's going on.
Yep,
I love it.
We'll do it. Gene Bean, 4096. He says, "Glad y'all are continuing to run with scissors. I'm really excited by cross app contents. Me too. Yep. I am robot." sends 10,004 sats. He says, informative and educational. Always adding these tool sets to my toolbox. 5x5 in the pipe.
Yeah, we love that.
Boost.
16969 from Hey Citizen through Podverse. And he says, thank you too for all that you do. Raises fist at the ordinals people. Get off my chain.
Boost.
Get off my chain.
I like 2222 from Captain Egghead. He says, go podcasting.
Okay. Go podcasting!
500 sats, but this is a nice note. It says, my first boost. I came here after listening to Bitcoin Review and the episode with Adam. You told me to come listen to this. So, boom, here I am, baby.
All right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Boost!
How you doing, Booster?
Borlog sent 26,000 sats. Nice. And he says, it's an honor to watch this project grow. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for supporting it. That's exactly how it works.
Some guy named Roy sent 54,321, 54321 sats through Breeze, of course. And he just says podcastindex.org.
That's right.
Don't just stand there. Boost!
It's not a very creative note, Roy.
I don't think I put it in there. I don't know. I think you have a bug.
Then sometimes you say something nice.
You didn't have enough alcohol that night. You could need some more drinks. I like drunk Roy. That's
drunk Roy is the best Roy. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Isn't it time? Must be pretty close for you to start hitting the bottle, Roy.
Yeah, my butler is out with the champagne.
Okay.
Boost.
Chris Lass from Jupiter. Chris Fisher, 188,000 sats.
Whoa!
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Nice, thank you.
Through the Podcast Index website, another gift of Stephen B.
Yes, beautiful.
And his message says, Jupiter Broadcasting just passed a year accepting boosts. It's been amazing, and we're all in testing lit video and audio.
Oh, man, those guys, I love them. So, tipping is up. 188,000. Yeah. Tipping is up. Yeah, that's not a tip, people. That's value.
Adam, yes. I get the feels you've been going through hell and back with that mouth of yours recently. Mm. I feel you, brother, and respect the stiff upper lip approach you've been taking on air. Hope you're doing all right and you're in our thoughts. Go podcasting.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Go podcasting!
It's, well, I was just thinking the other day, yes, it's a pain in the ass, and they can't keep up with fixing stuff, so the slicing changes because of, the multiple procedures. But considering I had what I thought were allergies for 10 years, those are gone. I no longer use my hearing aids. I've got a 3-for-1. I'm truly blessed with this. I can deal with the slicing for a couple more months. I have been so fortunate with doing all this. Who knew?
Hearing aids thing is nuts.
Have not had them in for weeks at this point.
I don't even understand that.
Well, because my sinuses were being, there was an infection there. So they were always it's like your tubes, your hearing is connected to all the other sinuses and all the tubes. And it was just gunky in there, I guess, pussing, green, oozing slime.
Oh, time for that. Time for another boost. Comic strip blogger.
There he is.
33015. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. It's CSB with a special message for all you gringos out there. Now, gringos. I know you
you know that's racist, comics or blogger? We're just saying that's racist, man.
It's too far away from Mexico. He doesn't understand. Now, I know you Americans like your podcasts like you like your burgers. Big, bold, and juicy. And that's why I'm here to recommend a real sizzler for your ears. AI.cooking with our very own Gregory William Forsyth Foreman. So don't be a chump, hombre. Head on over to AI.cooking and give it a listen. Yo, CSB.
CSB is so funny. He's always about AI, AI.cooking, machine learning, AI, the singularity is coming. And I say, hey, I'd really love some kind of engine that looks at the transcripts and makes recommendations. Something really simple like searches.
I'll get to
stuff.
It in August when I'm not busy.
No, he says, oh, not profitable project. Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Fine. That's all good. And Stephen B came in and fixed it for me. So
monthlies. Seymour right. Partners Limited, $5. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Charles Current, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Sean McCune, $20. And Jordan Dunville, $10.
Thank you all very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. You're supporting the project. You're supporting the infrastructure. You're really supporting everything and the future. You're future-proofing Podcasting 2.0, the index, as everything stays within the node for liquidity. Everything is being built up so that if we fall down, we just need to have an automatic payment thing set up with Linode. Mm-hmm. So just put it like a dead man's switch that just starts, kicks in and starts paying for everything. So thank you. We appreciate that. You can do it in multiple ways. The best way is go to podcastapps.com, get one of those modern podcast apps that you can boost with. We love the boostograms. Of course, if you want to use your fiat fund coupons, podcastindex.org. At the bottom, you've got the big red donate button. You can use PayPal for that or on-chain, which is now Dreb Scott's personal payment portal. But you can join him there and be part of the on-chain revolution. Get on his chain if you want to. So thank you all very, very much. It is wonderful to see everything taken off like this. And of course, valueforvalue.info to learn more about the concept. And it is time, talent, and treasure. So everything anyone is doing is helping and moving things forward. And we appreciate it. With that, let's see. Roy, did you have anything else you want to talk about before we let you get off to your weekend festivities of champagne, caviar, etc.?
Since we, the only time that we get to talk is during your podcast.
Oh man.
No, man, the guilt. The guilt.
Yeah, there's the Jew guilting us. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, now you sound like my mom. Oh, I got to get back to work. We got to chop it. We got to chop it.
All right, chop and drop. I do want to
I'll hook you up with the SDK stuff, Dave. Don't worry about it.
And thank you. I'm dying to get into that. Yeah,
Roy, we really appreciate all you've done to support us. Besides just, you know, absolutely being there for any questions, insights into the industry. I think, you know, I'll call you more often. I'm sorry, it's completely my fault. I was just, I was having had surgery.
I know.
I expected you to show up with chicken soup, with chicken soup.
But I just wanted to say, like, I miss you, Adam. That's what I'm trying to convey.
I know.
I'm doing it in my own, like, passive-aggressive way. But
And it's appreciated. quick reminder, Podbean is going to be using the 2.0 namespace for transcripts. We appreciate that. I'm sure Todd had something to do with that now that he's over there.
Rob
Greenlee. Yeah. And for those of you,
RSS.com also rolled out the TXT tag.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. And yes. Remind your listeners, if you're a podcaster, you can export your subscriptions and import them into any good app. And I think all of our apps do that. People are always questioning, like, how do I get my subscriptions? Export OPML, export podcast, promote that as much as you can. Roy, we look forward to, the SDK to rolling that out. You just give us some great ideas. I like the recommendation, or the ranking or whatever we're going to call it. And thank you for being a real staunch supporter of the project with SATS too. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Totally.
Thank you guys. Thank you for exposing me to the wonderful world of podcasts.
Yes. And one of these days we'll get you to listen to more than just one. there's a lot out there. You might enjoy some of the other ones. Why? You're right.
I like listening to your rants.
Just listen to this half of a podcast because it's twice the speed. Yeah. All right. Dave, have a great weekend. Roy, have a great weekend. Chat room, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
The censorship resists in my ass.